do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did like 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text good to 511-511. Text good to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A near-total abortion ban on the books in Arizona before it became a state has been upheld by the state Supreme Court. The ruling says the 160-year-old law takes precedence over the state's recent 15-week abortion ban. That decision puts a two-week stay on enforcement, which could shutter abortion clinics. Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs after the ruling.
We are 14 days away from this extreme ban coming back to life. It must be repealed. Immediately.
Jennifer and James Crumbly, the parents of convicted Oxford, Michigan shooter Ethan Crumbly, were each sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison today after being convicted of involuntary manslaughter for not doing enough to prevent their son's actions. Israel's prime minister says a date has been set for military operations in Gaza's southern city of Rafah, but did not disclose the timeline. Talks for a ceasefire and hostage release deal stalled again, Hamas blaming Israel for rejecting the latest demands. This is ABC News. Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia still threatening to demand a vote on her motion to oust the House Speaker.
A five-page memo to her colleagues has Marjorie Taylor Greene making the case for Mike Johnson's ouster. Greene says since emerging from the Republican leadership crisis last fall, Speaker Johnson is now, quote, throwing our razor-thin majority into chaos by not serving his own GOP conference that elected him. Greene points to the massive spending bill that averted a partial government shutdown last month. It passed with overwhelming bipartisan support, but without the votes of most Republicans.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Pfizer says its RSV vaccine could help younger adults with underlying medical conditions. The vaccine is already approved for older adults and pregnant women, but younger adults with conditions like asthma and diabetes are also more likely to be hospitalized. Pfizer says it will ask the FDA for expanded approval. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Yet more dismembered body parts are found in a Milwaukee neighborhood. Monday, Milwaukee police said more human remains had been located Sunday in the area on the city's west side where remains were spotted Friday and Saturday. It's the fourth such report since last week Tuesday when a human leg was discovered at a Cudahy Park. Police took a person of interest into custody following that incident. Authorities aren't saying if the finds of the remains are related, nor are they linking the discoveries to the disappearance of 19-year-old Sade Robinson, who was reported missing to Milwaukee police April 1st. Governor Tony Evers vetoes a bill that would have allowed younger teens to work without permits.
The Republican-authored measure would have eliminated a requirement for 14 and 15-year-olds to obtain work permits. In Madison on Monday, Evers told the Wisconsin State Council of Machinists that it would have rolled back child labor protections, removed parental notifications, and undermined child labor law enforcement. And he said it wasn't a serious proposal to address Wisconsin's workforce challenges, as Republicans had maintained. This is the 189th bill the Democratic governor has vetoed. That's 22 more than any other governor in state history. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
President Joe Biden has a new plan to reduce student loan debt. During remarks Monday at Madison College, Biden said it'll target those in most need of relief.
The ability for working and middle-class folks to repay their student loans has become so burdensome that a lot can't repay it for even decades after being in school.
A previous plan to send $20,000 to all student loan borrowers was rejected by the conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. The White House is hoping the new smaller-scale plan will be reenacted. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and mild as high temperatures climb into the low 60s. It gets even better than that for tomorrow. Abundant sunshine and highs soaring to flirting with near 70. Enjoy it because rain rolls in by Thursday and temperatures cool some. One call to Tax Solutions now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Funds going on the offense and adding to short positions. The cattle complex was higher. Hogs shrugged off early losses to push to new contract highs.
Live from beneath a manageable moon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Matt Tranel from Ever.Ag. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
You sound powerful this afternoon.
I'm fired up, baby. Fired up.
Man, oh man.
Service restored, homie.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Congrats. Glad to hear it.
Thank you. I have so many people to thank. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that you do. And, you know, the guys running the power crews right at the top of that list, huh?
They fixed it and split. Yeah.
Nice.
They're gone. Yep.
Nice. You like guys that step in and do the job, don't you?
Got to love that kind of thing. Absolutely.
That's right.
Because I am not, I'm not in a position to climb up that pole at all.
You're not a lineman?
No. No, I'm not even a line boy.
Have you played one on TV?
No, not even a line boy.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I see.
Just a regular man.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Yeah.
It is Tuesday afternoon, and we are going to talk dairy. Okay, Class 3 milk futures lower today. We're coming off of 3 days with solid gains and a nice move from last week's low, but today May milk futures, Class 3 milk futures, saw an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close. Matt Tranel from Ever.Ag is going to be here. And we're going to talk about what's going on in the milk market, the dairy market. And one of the things that I want to talk with Matt about is how the dairy market seems to be handling the discovery, the confirmation of HPAI in some of the dairy herds and uncertainty over how consumers are going to react to that. I mean, we've seen some terrible reactions in the cattle trade, not so much in the milk trade. So
that's interesting.
We'll see what Matt thinks about that. And, of course, we got Matt Bennett standing by. He's going to be here with some perspective on price action here in just a moment. All right, let's get to the markets.
Chip wheat futures opened to lower and stayed south of unchanged for most of the session. USDA rated 56% of the U.S. winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from the previous week. But it did nothing to encourage short covering in wheat futures. Uncertainty over the flow of wheat from Russia is increasing due to more rules and regulations read that as export fees on Russian grain exports. May, soft red winter wheat futures opened to lower and fell through support at 560. That close below 560, Chip, points to a test of support at the bottom of the sideways trading range near 540. July HRW wheat futures 10 and one quarter cents lower at 574 and a quarter. July SRW wheat down 8 and one half to 572. July spring wheat closed at 657 and three quarters. Chip, that's down 1 1/4 cents today.
We've seen this before, and it seems to be happening a bit right now again. The Russian exporters seem to be getting in their own way. That it's going to continue for a little bit. They're going to get it all hashed out, and then they'll be back in the export business.
Timely rains for the Brazilian Safrina corn crop are encouraging professional funds to stay on the short side of the corn market. World Weather Inc. says most of the Safrina corn areas of Brazil will have favorable soil moisture, while conditions will remain a bit too dry in Paraguay, Western Paraná, and in Mato Grosso do Sul. Pro Farmer South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor puts the Brazilian corn crop at 112 million metric tons, unchanged from last week. Dr. C cut his Argentine corn crop estimate by 2 million metric tons to 53 million metric tons this week due to heavy insect and disease pressure. May corn futures 4 1/4 cents lower, 431 and one quarter. July corn down a nickel, 442 and a half. December corn futures closed at 468 and one quarter. Down 4 3/4 cents, Chip.
Insects and disease. That's a new one that we haven't really talked too much about in that Argentine corn crop. We'll have to dig into that some more.
Soybean futures posted a high range open and closed near session lows. Bean oil limited strength in the bean market early, and the inability of meal to hold on to early session gains dragged bean prices lower late in the day. Crop advisor Dr. Michael Cordonier puts the Argentine bean crop at 51 million metric tons, and the Brazilian crop at 145 million, both unchanged from the previous week. USDA will update its estimates of South American production in Thursday's supply and demand report. May beans were 7 cents lower, 1174 and a half. July beans down 6 and a half, 1187 and three quarters. November beans closed at 1178 and one quarter. That's down 6 cents on the day.
Should see some additional position squaring ahead of that those reports on Thursday.
Well, July cotton today was 55 points lower, 87.84. On your livestocks, fat cattle futures posted back-to-back higher closes with support stemming from gains in the boxed beef market. June live cattle spiked resistance at 175 before pulling back to close just below that level. June live cattle $1.52 and a half higher today, 174.85. The October contract was up 157 and one half to 175.72 and a half. And May feeder futures, $2.27 and one half higher, to close at 239.45, snoutside. Hog futures made another run to new contract highs, with May futures closing higher for a fifth consecutive session, Chip. May hogs were 90 cents higher, 98.77 and a half. The June contract up 65 to 108.57 and a half, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. Basketball's over.
Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
And I guess we got to find something else to do now.
Yeah. Hello, Cubs. We'll have to pay attention there for a little while. Hey, the funds just like the sell side of these grains right now, don't they?
Yeah. Heading into the growing season. You know, I mean, you look at several of these commodities, you know, obviously oil's off a little today, but, you know, gold and silver just keep running higher. Yeah. You know, you've got several of these commodities that have been pretty impressive here lately. I guess corn and beans haven't gotten the memo, though. You know, it seems like the funds are perfectly content holding on to this short position. I think most people feel like this report will have a little more friendly numbers, you know, on corn, just due to stocks being a bit of a surprise on that quarterly stocks report. But I don't think the funds are concerned one bit, just from the way that they're currently trading.
Yeah. You know, if it turns out, Matt, that the grains are going to have to play some catch up on inflation, it could turn around in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it could turn around. The thing is, it's going to turn around in the face of what we would call fairly bearish fundamentals. Now, obviously, there's some stuff going on down, you know, with bugs in Argentina, this corn shunt or stunt, whatever they're calling it, you know, 10 to 15% yield drop in the areas that they've got it. So that could definitely play a bit of a role. But when you look at the U.S. balance sheet, it's still, even at 90 million acres, tell you what, if you have any growing season at all, it's going to be really hard not to have two straight years of 2 billion carry. And boy, the last time we saw that, you know, corn prices were definitely under four. So, yeah, I mean, if we do catch up on inflation, yeah, I mean, you could go up pretty quickly. But at the same time, I don't know that that'd be my marketing plan.
Yeah, there's a lot of headwinds to that. You're exactly right. Exactly right. Okay, buddy, thanks. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right, Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what's going on in the Class 3 milk futures, the dairy industry in general. Matt Tranel, Everett.ag, here on AgriTalk.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let AgMarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
We're going to talk markets, 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 and the class 3 milk market in particular. You okay? Everything all right?
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
Wait, wait. Yeah, I'm fine. Yep.
All right.
No, you good?
I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you like weren't getting some sort of a power surge or anything going over there.
Oh, no, no, no. This is just my normal state of being. But, you know, we should pull ourselves together. I think we've got a show coming up this afternoon, don't we? We got to do that yet today? Is that today?
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing right now.
We're doing it now? This is it?
The last I knew, I mean, everything feels like the show so far.
No, I'm all freaked out and nervous. Why would you say something like that?
All right, let's get to it. We're going to talk Class 3 milk futures. Matt Tranel, Ever.ag, is our guest analyst today. Matt, it's good to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. Last time we talked, first time we talked, was at the World Dairy Expo over in Madison. I believe I got that right, don't I?
Yep, that is accurate.
Very good, very good. Okay. I don't know how much time we need to spend on this, Matt, but I want to bring it up because you look at the volatility that was added to the cattle complex, the beef trade, by the HPAI detection in dairy cattle and the uncertainty over what it might mean to consumer attitudes toward food safety. And it's just like it's shocking the amount of volatility that is coming to the markets there. And then you look at the milk market, Matt, and it's just kind of slow and steady wins the race kind of attitude seems to be what's going on in there. They've taken HPAI in stride. What's going on?
Yeah, so I think a little bit it has to do with where the markets were going into that news. So when you look at the beef market, we were at essentially all-time record highs. And so if you sneezed at the market in any different way, markets were probably going to see some profit-taking and maybe a lower price as a result. Whereas alternatively, Class 3 was already low going into that story. And as a result, a lot of the negativity was already in the market and maybe there was only so much ammo from a fearful standpoint. To push markets lower. So when we went into that, the front end of the market, your May contract, we were already trading sub $16. And so I think there was just a little bit of hesitancy to push markets lower, given that over the course of the last 15 months or so, really that $14 to $15 area was already the low. And without a ton of new information, there wasn't really enough ammo to kind of push it further beyond that point.
Gotcha.
So I think a little bit of that had to happen there.
Gotcha. What is the talk, the chatter about this event in the dairy industry? Have you had a chance to talk to other participants in the market and just kind of feel them out, what they think?
So there's a lot more nervousness in regards to the consumer front, as you did already kind of mention towards. Yeah. I think from the supply standpoint, a lot of the dairy producers that we talk to, a lot of the industry folks say that, yes, this virus could spread, and yes, it could make production tight in a specific territory for a period of time. But a lot of these cows are recovering after 10 to 14 days. And so for the most part, it would be a short-term supply crunch. Geographically speaking, certainly it does seem like this is airborne. And so it could spread to different regions at the same time. And it could be a little bit more of a crunch than that. But the primary concern remains in the consumer, ensuring and educating the consumer that the product is indeed safe. Any affected milk would not enter into the food supply chain. And even if it did, pasteurization would take care of it. So everything is safe. And I don't think we can, I think we have to kind of harp on that as much as we can, that the product is safe. And I think for the most part, if there were to be some type of decline in demand, it would probably come from your fluid milk varieties versus like your cheeseburgers. consumers are probably still going to go out and they're not going to think about it affecting the cheese. So the product is safe, but I do think that the overall industry is concerned about the consumer. And for the most part, I'd say the industry has done a very, very good job educating the consumer in regards to what's going on and that things are safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, you make a great point about the cheeseburger there, and it just, you know, popped into my head. There isn't anybody out there that's not going to buy a pizza because of this.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's the last thing you're thinking of when you're ordering a pizza. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think that's really good perspective. We can't ignore it. We can't ignore the possibility that class three milk futures might experience something like what has happened in the cattle trade, but at the same time, you don't plan on it. You don't plan on it either, I don't think, right?
No, I mean, you never necessarily plan on it, but you have to be cognizant of the fact that it could happen. And I think a lot of dairy producers out there that are being realistic with the market know full well that the consumer is the primary driver of their milk check. And quite frankly, they understand that consumers could be on a little bit of edge for a period of time, and thus they are managing their risk appropriately. Gotcha. Given that information.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and you know, the market is demanding a little bit more attention when it comes to risk management too, just simply because we've had a really nice move from last week's low to the upside in class three milk futures, right?
Absolutely. So if you've been kind of paying attention to the specifically the May through the July futures for 2024 since last Thursday, and that was kind of following some of our export data, for which we had a really nice number printed for cheese exports. And futures in that period of time rallied $1 to $1.50. And beyond that, we saw a little bit of a rally as well, just not as big of a rally, given that futures were already holding in there a pretty steep premium. But when you look at May, we closed in on $17 again. I know that's not lighting the world on fire, given today's cost of productions and whatnot. June was $17.50, and July was able to creep above $18. Certainly, like I said, not lighting the world on fire, but at the end of the day, it sure beats the pants off of $15.50, $16 milk that we were previously seeing. So, yeah, it's been a nice little look for us. Cheese on the CME Spot Dairy Index has continued to be bid. Through yesterday, we saw a little bit more selling action today, so that does show that there is still some cheese out there, but the market is still in there fighting, and some buyers are still interested in acquiring the product. So, it's definitely a move to take another look at the very least.
Okay. All right. Talk to me a little bit more about that export comment that you made, Matt. What is the product that is in most demand in the export market?
Yeah, so the cheese exports were the one that really kind of made your eyes open up a little bit more.
Okay.
And it makes sense. Cheese prices were down towards $1.40, whereas world prices are closer to $2 in both Oceania and also in Europe. So we would expect that type of price discrepancy would acquire additional business. Mm-hmm. And so in February, we actually saw 95.6 million pounds leave our shores. And that was the largest monthly export number that we've seen since June of 2022. So that was pretty impressive. The biggest buyer that we saw was Mexico. And that makes sense. Proximity-wise, their peso is strong, so they have more purchasing power for our product. But that was the highest monthly volume that Mexico has had on record. And so that alone, since that report came out, block and barrel cheese is up 15 cents on the spot dairy index. And I mean, we're only at $1.55, but we're closing in. We're 45 still cents away from the world market, which I mean, maybe we continue to creep in on that potential price. I'm not banking on it myself. I think We have a little more ways to go, but overall, our cheese inventories are still quite burdensome.
Okay. All right. But boy, it's sure nice to have a market like Mexico, as close as it is and as willing a buyer of the product that that we've got. It's going to help out, no question. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep. We've talked demand side. Great perspective on the HPAI in the dairy. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the production side and some of the changes that dairies are going through on the production side. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Envita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 10 and one quarter cents lower at 574 and one quarter. July SRW wheat down 8 and one half cents to 572. May corn futures were 4 and one quarter cents lower at 431 and one quarter. December corn futures closed at 468 and one quarter. That's down 4¾ cents. May soybean futures 7 cents lower, 1174 and a half. November beans closed at 1178 and one quarter. That's down 6 cents on the day. July cotton today 55 points lower at 87.84. On your livestock's June fat cattle $1.52½ higher at 174.85. May feeder futures $2.27½ higher at 239.45. June lean hog futures up 65 cents, 108.57 and one half. Hey, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and mild as high temperatures climb into the low 60s. It gets even better than that for tomorrow. Abundant sunshine and highs soaring to flirting with near 70. Enjoy it because rain rolls in by Thursday and temperatures cool some. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down.
but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Matt Tranel from Ever.Ag, talking about what's going on in the dairy industry, Class 3 milk futures in particular, and trying to zero in on some risk management strategies here. We've talked a lot about the demand side of the market, Matt. Let's go over to the production side. What are we learning from the latest production reports?
Yeah, so the latest production reports still indicate that milk production on a year-over-year basis is indeed lower. It's been that way for quite some time now. When the February milk production report came out, the number came in at 1.3% negative growth year-over-year. And it's been pretty consistent right in that territory. Now, when you look at the solids report that comes out, it would actually indicate a different story, however, as solids are showing that there's a 0.9% growth rate, which is just kind of telling us that dairy producers have answered the call from their buyers. They are being asked to ship less water in the milk and more components within the milk. And so, yeah, that number on the production report is a little bit skewed. It's you have to kind of dive a little bit deeper within that number, which definitely shows that we're still producing plenty of components within the milk. So
yeah. Hey, Matt, is that diet? Is that genetics? Is it yes to all of the above? What is it?
I think it's all the above. I mean, dairy farmers have certainly adjusted their breeding programs in order to breed for more components. It's definitely a nutritionist changing rations that do provide higher butter fat and protein levels. So I think it's all the above.
Okay, all right. As long as we're talking about the breeding program, I got a message from a Wayne, a listener. His name is Wayne here just recently. And he was talking about he's a dairyman, but he was talking about how his replacement program has changed, so that he's not making any more heifers than what he absolutely knows he's going to need. And I think that's pretty consistent across the industry right now, just simply because of the value of that crossbred calf coming out of the dairy cows, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, no matter kind of where you're at in this country, I mean, we've been hearing lately that day-old calves, I mean, you're getting anywhere from $700 to $1,000 a head, which has been an incredible revenue infusion into the business compared to, I mean, I grew up on a dairy, and I remember that when calves were $500, and that was phenomenal, and calves were worth like $50 or nothing at all. So
yeah,
it's incredible what they're worth. And yeah, I mean, I was in Colorado, I've been in Wisconsin and all throughout the country, and most dairies are continuing to say that they're breeding for enough heifers to maintain their herd. If they are expecting to do some type of an expansion, they're maybe adjusting it a little bit further than that, so they don't have to chase, fresh 2-year-olds on the open market. But, for the most part, beef on dairy is going to remain as a very consistent part of their future.
Well, and what it seems to me is happening is that the genetics on those dairy herds are becoming a closed circle. It's not like they're reaching outside of their known genomics to bring something different or unknown into their genetics, are they?
Yeah, we're not seeing a ton of that. No,
right?
Not really.
Right. I don't know what kind of an impact this is going to have, but at some point, Matt, doesn't it have an impact on overall? I don't know. I'm getting into stuff that I think about, And I wonder about, but I don't know if it's going to have a negative influence or a negative impact on dairy genetics or not. If you think about it?
I mean, I guess we don't put a ton of thought into it maybe, yeah, as maybe what we should. I guess our line of thinking is more so along the lines of with inventory staying maybe stagnant, what that does to milk price more longer term is maybe the, sure, avenue that I kind of focus on. And I think that does have a story. I think it will pop up here. And I do think that's going to make dairy farming very enjoyable in the future, once demand can kind of catch up to maybe some of our previous, yeah, levels that we had seen, our 1% growth rate that we typically like to see.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If we can maintain a little bit of growth on the production side and bring the demand along with it, everybody should be happy in that industry, I would think. But here we are, and things just a touch out of whack right now. So with all of this, Matt, what's the outlook? Where do you see this Class 3 milk market going?
Yeah, so for now, I do believe that Class 3 is fairly range-bound. Two different times, once in mid-October, once in late February, the Class 3 market was able to touch 19, or at least knock on the door of $19.
Okay.
And we were not able to move above that price for more than a day. And so I think the market is very clearly saying that $19 is our ceiling until something bigger happens in this market, and it would most likely be demand driven that would push us through that type of price. So more domestic, okay, use. Right now, year to date, we're down 1% domestic use in regards to cheese. So that would have to flip the script a little bit.
Yeah.
I think your bottom end of Class 3 today is kind of that 15 quarter to 15 and a half dollar price. You look at January settlement, we finished right around 15.20. You look at March, we're right around 15.60. April currently is at 15.55. So I think the market is clearly saying that 15.50, 15 and a quarter is our downside. I think cheese is showing us that anytime we get down to that $1.40 area, we're going to pick up exports, which is going to prevent the market from really seeing, much more downside for that particular price. So I think it's right in that range that Class 3 kind of participates in. And it kind of goes back to the, I guess, in-house, we have the old saying that a $19 milk, that's kind of the level where the end user starts to say, well, above 19, that is no longer cheap milk. It's starting, yeah, to get into the expensive milk. So that's kind of where consumers and end users start to sit on their hands a little bit and look for a better opportunity.
Okay, so here, with prices how they are, and I don't know, does the structure of the market make sense to you right now with the Class 3 milk, the April 1555, May 1667, June 1728, and all the way out to August 1809? So we've got what I would call a carry market.
Yep.
Does that all make sense to you?
It does. I mean, it's very similar, okay, to what you would find in a corn market if you have tremendous amounts of inventory.
Yeah.
Ultimately, there's just kind of a carrot dangling off into the future at a higher price that is there for a while. And then as it becomes more and more towards the expiring contract, some of that premium starts to exit that particular contract month. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been what's been happening in dairy really for the last 12 months. We've seen carry out onto the future. And as we get into this expiring month, it just kind of seeps away as you would normally see in a lot of other markets as well.
Okay. So then from a risk management point of view, are you looking to out as far as the August and saying, listen, it's at $18, we need to be doing something?
So I would take that a step further, and I'd say we're out to kind of that December time frame even.
Okay.
December has been trading over 18 on at certain points over the course of the last couple of months. And we've certainly been taking action. Comes down to number one, the client that you're working with and the risk tolerance that they have. If they're a little more adverse to risk, you can kind of manage a certain strategy to that regard. So for a client that can manage a little more of a risky position, I think we're not only using floors such as the insurance products of LGM Dairy or DRP, but we're also considering using and implementing the min-max type structure of strategies. And we would prefer to layer all of those strategies in the closer we are to $19. But I mean, for somebody that doesn't have anything on to this point, I would definitely recommend having something and putting something into place just from a catastrophic type scenario.
Yeah, because makes sense.
The hardest thing to get back is lost equity. If somebody doesn't have as big of a risk profile as another, then we'd be primarily focusing on the insurance tools of LGM Dairy, DRP, or DMC through the FSA program.
Gotcha. Yeah, and there are examples, you know, very, very recent examples of why maybe dairy guys should be looking at some of that price protection out there. Matt,
without a doubt.
Great conversation, buddy. Thank you so much for making time, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Chip.
Fantastic. Thank you, Matt. That is Matt Tranel with Ever.ag. All right. We're going to put a wrap on today's second hour of AgriTalk. Davis and I will be right back in a moment.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier-looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 163-1119.
Are you ready to maximize your yields? Use Germinator Steel Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provide a 13 bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7 bushel advantage per acre in conventional as compared to standard rubber wheels.
Caution, please confirm that you have additional space in your bin before adopting Germinator Closing Wheel Systems.
Call 712-520-6051 or visit farmshopmfg.com to place your order today.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Our pal, Davis Michelson. Chip.
You don't have to whisper about it.
No, I do. The dog's asleep. I got a question for you.
Okay.
He's kind of laying there on his side.
Yeah, yeah.
And just a little bit of his tongue. Uh-huh. It's kind of sticking out between his front teeth, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it does that and sometimes it doesn't. What is that? What is that?
I don't know.
What's twitching now? Joe?
Climate change.
Is it climate change?
Obviously.
I had my suspicions. You know, I read this thing earlier today, and as I understand it, the sun is a mighty powerful heat, almost impossible.
Almost.
To go near the sun.
Almost impossible to get close to it.
The moon is much more manageable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, depending on how much gas is in there.
Right. The moon, of course, our solar system's favorite gas giant.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe we should have gone for like...
I am learning so much from social media.
That was an epic post for the ages. I appreciate you sending me that. It was quite
a deal. Welcome.
You're welcome. Is Matt Bennett predicting a 2 billion bushel carryout for the second consecutive year on 90 million acres of corn?
Did
I get those numbers together?
Could very well be.
Uh-huh.
Could very well be. That's the kind of thing that gets a market looking for demand, isn't it?
You would think. Yeah.
That's the bottom line from the conversation that we had, the quick conversation that we had with Bennett at the start of the show. Absolutely. It's hard to argue that. And the thing is, Matt Tranel, a couple of times in our conversation about what's going on in milk, reinforced what Matt Bennett said about the grains. Mm-hmm. When he'd say things like, well, if we get these milk prices low enough, then all of a sudden the export demand shows up. Yeah. Yeah, cheap prices fix cheap prices because the demand comes back to the market. It can happen very quickly with things like milk and beef and poultry and pork. It takes much longer to get that demand back and to redevelop when we're talking about products like corn, soybeans, and wheat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Fat cattle were poised for a fear-based sell-off when the news of BIAV, which is the bovine edition of bird flu, fat cattle poised for a fear-based sell-off. They were a little toppy there. We were already talking about that. But the dairy sort of absorbed that news. We're talking, you know, futures in particular, absorbed that news. What, it just seemed like the news broke, like, so quickly. You know, he said that, and I thought, well, no, wait a second. Didn't they find out about the infections at the same time, the dairy guys and the...
They sure did. They sure did. But
so,
condition of the market. Yeah. Condition of the market set up the reaction. And Matt had it nailed. When you've got cattle prices trading around all-time highs, and you throw the amount of uncertainty that bird flu in bovines can bring to the equation, you throw that in, and there's going to be a negative reaction. Now, with milk prices trading down there around $15 a hundred, that's cheap. Okay, well, it's a whole lot easier to say, well, we're cheap already. We don't have to get cheaper because of uncertainty.
Okay.
Okay, so right. I thought it was a great point.
I did,
great
too.
Point makes a whole lot of sense.
Super cool. Help me make sense of a min-max strategy.
Let's get somebody else on that can help us do that.
Okay, fair enough.
But basically what you're talking about is in exchange for a minimum price, you are taking on a position that also includes a maximum price. All right.
Okay.
It's limiting risk for you as the seller, but it's also limiting risk for the buyer. In this equation, we need to get somebody on to that can explain it better than what I can. I never used them. I never used a min-max or recommended a min-max in any of the risk management that we ever did. I just didn't do it.
Well, could we call it maybe a second cousin to the strangle?
I'm sure that you can, yeah.
Okay.
It's an option strategy.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. Very good. Dairy cows, numbers are stagnant. He's more focused on demand and growth than really anything else.
Getting
here.
Back to the growth.
Yeah.
Getting back to, let's get it back to where we can kind of look at that 1% annual growth on the production side of things, so that it can account for steady numbers and improved genetics and improved milk production efficiencies. So but we got to have the demand that comes along with it, because as in any livestock market, if you're producing too much, even 1% too much, that's way too much.
Yeah.
And it is reflected in price in a big way. So we need to get back to the demand growth that matches up with the production growth so that we can keep the industry moving forward. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's easier said than done. You know, I don't think there's any question about that. But nonetheless, it does make a lot of sense. A lot of sense. So,
all right. Chilly in Alaska, that actually seems to make a little sense, too.
Right. Finally, huh?
Yeah,
below normal temperatures expected up there for April 15th through the 19th. That is the 6 to 10 day outlook. Above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation also expected across the entire Corn Belt. The 8 to 14 day, this is for April 17th through the 23rd. We're already talking about the 23rd of April in this outlook. That's crazy to me. Near normal temperatures in the northern production areas. You've got below normal temperatures expected in North Dakota, South Dakota, and western Nebraska. And then above normal temperatures expected southeast Iowa and points to the east and south of that. Above normal precipitation expected as well. Lance Honig from USDA's NAS tomorrow morning.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself.